Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ. Call Cheryl now with your questions about gardening or landscaping at 512-836-0590, pound 590 on your wireless, or toll free 1-877-590-KLBJ.
Well, what a morning, huh? You have tuned in to the Austin Gardener. I'm Cheryl McLaughlin, and we are here to talk about your gardening, landscaping kind of questions or input, what have you. And if you want to join the show, you can call or text 512-836-0590. And we have a toll-free line, which you can also use for long distance, which is 877-590-5525. So again, 512-836-0590, call or text. Well, the storm really messed with the station this morning, knocking the AM off the air a couple times. I wasn't even sure if I should come down here, but evidently we were still broadcasting successfully on 99.7, and Jeff was getting calls and texts and what have you. So here I am, but they managed to fix it, and I think the storms are well east of Austin now. But, man, that was something else this morning, huh? Just really got violent there for a little while. I was sitting in the garage drinking coffee, reading the paper, and because I love to sit out there when it's raining. But, wow, it got so windy. It kind of got scary there for a few minutes. So I closed the back door and sort of waited for it. A lot of lightning, a lot of thunder. But at least we got some good rain. So anyway, what do you guys want to talk about today? I was thinking about talking to you about planting evening gardens. That's been on my mind a lot lately. I meant to bring this great book I have on evening gardens. Maybe I'll bring it next weekend. I forgot to grab it this morning. But, you know, when it gets so hot here, the time of day when you're actually able to really be outside and enjoy things is at night for the most part, right? Or in the evening after the sun goes down. So I just got interested in this subject a few years ago. I've planted some evening gardens before in my design business, right, in our landscaping company. Which, by the way, KevinWoodLandscapes.com, if you want to contact him, continues on today, being led beautifully by Mike Padilla and still doing the same kind of stuff Kevin and I did. Just native Texas plants, all the construction you ever could imagine, everything from irrigation, lighting, water features, decks, you name it. Patios, all that good stuff, and using sustainable methods. So go to KevinWoodLandscapes.com and check them out. And that's got a contact page there. So, all right, we have a caller on the line, so let's do this first. And if you want to join the show, call or text 512-836-0590. Hey, Denise, how's it going?
Going great. Finally got some of that rain. I'm so glad, too. I have a question this morning with respect to yarrow. I thought it was a full sun plant, but mine didn't come back very well this year. And I have a couple of new plants that I wanted to put in the ground. I wanted to find the right location. And I just wanted to get your take on whether they can take the full Texas sun or if they need afternoon shade.
I always used them in the shade, Denise. You know, there's so few things that flower in the shade, so yarrow was always one of my go-to shade plants. The white one is the native one, right? I never had
right.
much luck with the colored ones, the other
okay.
colors of yarrow. But,
okay.
But I would, yeah, I think the afternoon shade would benefit them.
All right, and with respect to the amount of moisture, are they drought tolerant, or do they need a fair amount of moisture?
They don't need a lot, but they need more than, you know, some. So it's just like any other plant. If you go out there in the morning and the foliage is wilted, you need to water them. But
okay.
they are native, so I mean they'll go dormant if they're not getting any water and it gets too dry. And I guess it could even kill them. I never had that happen, but it could. Because, you know, in a drought like we've had the last couple of years, you never know. But I would just give them enough water to get them started. And then, again, if they're wilted in the morning, go ahead and give them a little bit. They don't need a lot.
Okay.
Though. Okay.
Sounds great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for calling KLBJ this morning. And again, if y'all want to join the show, 512-836-0590. Flowers for you, Papa Jobby. Oh, how cute is that? He always sends me the sweet texts. I wish I could see y'all when I'm reading your texts and what have you. But anyway, it looks like the worst of the weather has moved to the east. I did see a big branch down in my neighborhood as I was just right down the street from me in the kind of the wild area. So it got super windy. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people don't report having some broken branches. Well, I mean, this is what we get this time of year. Thank God it rained a little bit, but we sure need a lake filler kind of rain, don't we? Maybe we'll get it in May. I don't know. It's almost May. That's typically when we get the most of our rain. But let's just cross our fingers and hope for that because, man, we need to fill that lake up bad. Okay, 512-836-0590, call or text. Meanwhile, let's get back to the evening garden idea. So what the key here is light-colored flower, white flowers, reflective leaves. So anything that's like a silvery type of leaf. But I have had really good luck using just, you know, white-flowered plants. Things like Datura, which is it flowers at night and it's fragrant. It's wonderful. Things like Artemisia that has silvery flowers, all kind of white salvias, anything like that. And here's another cool thing. Grasses. In the evening with a breeze, grasses make the most beautiful, soothing sound when the wind's blowing through them in an evening garden. So that's another thing to consider. And sort of an optical illusion kind of deal is at the far end of your garden, if you plant blue flowers like black and blue sage, indigo spires, mystic spires, Henry Duhlberg, mealy blue sage, which is now one of my favorite plants in the world, for some reason it sort of expands the feeling of your garden. It makes it feel like you're seeing even farther than you really are. Moonflower vine, that's another good one. That's a beautiful annual vine that I just love. So most of these white flowering things that bloom in the evening like that are moth pollinated. So that's cool too. You can bring in these really interesting moths and observe them. Okay, here's a text that came in. Mount Laurel, I have at least 30 of them on my property. I planted them from seed 33 years ago. Been trying to fill in with some more, and they're only about 5 or 6 inches tall. Can you please tell me exactly what they love so I can help them along just a little bit? Thank you, Cheryl. Well, Mount Laurels, really, they just need just a little help getting started. But after that, you don't want to baby them. I mean, anything could benefit from compost, right? Or maybe even some fertilizer, like time-release organic fertilizer. But you could just as soon do something like seaweed and fish emulsion. They're going to set their flowers in the summer and fall, late summer and fall, set the flower bloom spikes. So you definitely do not want to prune them after that because, again, you're not going to get any blooms, right? And I see it so often, it just drives me crazy. Ah, Papa Chubby sent me a Is that really you? You look like a mountain man. Okay, let's get that first break going on. We'll be back after this. And if you want to join the show, 512-836-0590, you can call or text. Thank you.
Welcome to the Austin Gardner with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back after a pretty interesting morning. And I was just looking at some more plants that I thought might be really, really good for an evening garden. And I forgot about one of my favorite ones, which is, you know, guara. If you don't know guara, it's a wonderful plant. There's a white one and then there's a pink one. The white one is perfect for evening gardens because they have these little delicate stems and then these tiny flowers on the very tip of the stems. And the stems just basically disappear at dusk. And then you have all these little white, delicate, almost like little tiny butterflies dancing around. And it's kind of grass-like, so in the breeze, it would just be a beautiful addition. So white guara, G-U-A-R-A, would be another one of my favorites. Papa Dobby sent me a cool picture. Just exactly how I pictured you, I'll be honest with you. Okay, here's a text. Do I need to add anything to reuse potting soil? I'm going to use 50% new and 50% used potting soil in a container. Can you explain bluebonnet seeds? Probably. But, okay, as far as the potting soil, I always mix some compost into my potting soil because it helps it hold a little bit more water. And in containers, especially that, you know, the cheap potting soil that they sell at all the box stores and everything, it really doesn't have any true nutrition in it to speak of. It drains so fast that, you know, you have to water your plants so often. So I usually mix in some compost with it to help it at least hold some soil. And I'd look for a high-quality potting soil. Some potting soils, really high quality ones, already have that in there, so that can be really helpful. But if you don't do anything else, just get you a bag of compost and mix some in there. As far as bluebonnet seeds, okay, right now the bluebonnets are setting seed, and you have to leave them alone because they're annuals until the seed is ripe. And when the seed, the little brown seed pods will start to twist when they get ripe. And then they spring open, and they can spit those seeds in great, you know, areas. So if you want to keep the seeds, you can, when you start seeing those seed pods just start to twist, you can pull the whole plant up, put them in a paper bag, right, and let them continue that process in the bag. Then you have your seeds. And they will have a dormancy coating on them. In other words, you know, they're like little pebbles. So you can put some straight in the ground in the fall. And they will, some will germinate, some will wait sometimes years to germinate. If you need them to germinate quickly, you have to scarify them, which means you have to rough the seed up to the point where there's a tiny little hole in that dormancy coating that will allow water to be absorbed into the seed, and then, you know, then it'll germinate. But they're capable of lasting years in the soil before they germinate because that seed coating has to get worn through, so to speak. So, but yeah, we plant them around here in the fall. And sometimes they'll germinate in the summer, though. Okay, here's another text. Good morning. I just now tuned in. So you may have already talked about the fuzzy caterpillars that are eating my garden. I've been hand-picking them every few hours, but is there a better way to get rid of them? and protect my flowers and vegetables. Thank you for your help with this. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think picking it, you could get one of those little garden vacuums that might make it easier than picking them up. They're probably going to turn into a butterfly or a moth. But if you really need to kill them, use Bacillus thuringiensis, BT, for caterpillars. It doesn't hurt anything else. Just it doesn't kill them on contact. But they will eat, if you spray it on the plants, they will eat the plants and then they will die. And I would certainly not use this if you're trying to do a butterfly garden. But, you know, they're transitory. So they'll eat some of the leaves. This is, of course, a natural process. They'll eat some, but then they'll move on. And I'm just not a fan of killing all that stuff. Now, on your vegetables, if they're destroying your vegetables, I get that. So that's when you want to use a product that contains BT as the active ingredient. And there's a lot of different products. You know, there's Dipel, Thuricide, BioWorm, so lots of stuff like that you can spray. But they won't be around for long, okay? Let's see here. Somebody sent me a beautiful picture. I wonder what that is. It's a flower, but you don't say what it is, but it sure is pretty. Very interesting flower. Okay, 512-836-0590. That's the call or text number. And we have a long-distance toll-free line, which is 877-590-5525. So again, 512-836-0590, call or text. Now, another thing I like to put in these evening gardens, I've talked about the white flowers, the blue flowers at the far end of the garden, which, you know, again, black and blue sage is one of my favorites, but you could use the Henry Duhlberg Mealy Blue Sage. Anything with silvery reflective leaves will work, like woolly stenobia ground cover is a silvery ground cover. I'm not a big artemisia. Like, I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like that Powis Castle artemisia. I don't know why. I just don't like it. But that's the color. That's another one of the colors, that light silvery gray color that works. But white roses. So Marie Pavier is the white version of the Marie Daly rose. And this is a beautiful, hardy little rose that is fragrant. It has very few thorns. So get the Marie Pavier as the white version of that. I use white Salvia greggii in these gardens too. I already mentioned Datura. My daughter has it's the best-looking Datura ever. I was over there a couple of days ago, and it had at least four blooms on it. But of course, it only opens at night, and I was there during the day, so I didn't see it open. But at night, they're so fragrant. I just love them. You know, as it gets towards fall, when things like white misflower are blooming, it's already cooling off, but still, why not have a white misflower? Oh, and you know what else would be awesome is the almond verbena. You've never smelled anything as good as an almond verbena. It is just now it gets kind of big, 4 to 8 feet tall and 8 foot spread. So it's very beautiful, though. It blooms off and on all summer. It attracts butterflies, bees, hummingbirds. It'll die back in the winter. But the almond verbena, the smell of it is just enticing. As would be, if you can find them, sweet olive. Oh, man, I love that plant. I guess we could get too fragrant-y. You know, you want to get 50 different fragrances, but Blackfoot daisy would be another good white bloomer that would be with you all summer long. So think about that when you can Google this stuff, but it's just so much fun, so gratifying to be out in the garden in the evening. you know, with these fragrant and beautiful flowers. And don't forget about the grasses. Okay, here's, you know, I was saying, what a cool picture. This is, somebody sent me the name. Sorry, that's a close-up of Guara calceacola, I think. So it's like a very big, a very close-up of a Guara, but that's not the same Guara as I'm talking about. Oh, oak leaf hydrangea. That's another one. Somebody's sending me some great pictures. Cheryl, morning, wanted to share in our caterpillar hiding in the oak leaf orange poppy with white trim. So there's the oak leaf hydrangea, beautiful white flowers on that. And the there's the poppy, another oak leaf picture. Oh, big old caterpillar right in the middle of the oak leaf bloom. My daughter planted two oak leaf hydrangeas in the front of her bed. I was so happy to see that. Okay, we're just about to break for the bottom of the hour news. So if y'all want to join in, 512-836-0590, and we'll be back.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back. Man, I'm watching the weather channel while I'm sitting here in this little town in called Sulphur, Oklahoma. Just got decimated by tornadoes. It's just sad to watch. Really, every business just about got destroyed. Bless their hearts. Keep our fingers crossed for them. Hope they get better. Okay, 512-836-0590. You can call or text that number. Here's a text. Good morning, Cheryl. Apologies for the late text. I just tuned in. I have two-year-old pecan trees about 4 feet tall. They've got a lot of foliage on them, and I'm just wondering if it's too late in the season to trim some of the smaller bottom limbs off the main trunk. I can wait till the winter when it's dormant, but I would rather try to help it grow taller by trimming the bottom limbs. Thank you. Well, that's not the way to get them to grow taller. The way to get them to grow taller is to leave all the foliage that you possibly can on there. And that way, you know, photosynthesis will occur better, more, and your trees will grow taller. Those trees are going to shoot up. I wouldn't prune them yet. That's just me. But I feel like giving them a best chance to grow would be to, again, leave the leaves on there. You can always cut those branches later if they end up being too low. But I don't think I've ever seen a pecan tree with real low branches. They're pretty much what we call a self-pruning plant. They will, those lower branches will eventually get shaded out as it gets taller. So it's not like you're going to have low branches once that thing gets big. But so, yeah, I wouldn't really do that. I wouldn't cut them now. That's my opinion. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Roger, how you doing?
Good morning, Cheryl. I was out in my backyard yesterday evening. I was watching the fireflies, and I don't know what kind of insect they are, and do they have any beneficial aspect to our lives?
Yeah, of course they do. I mean, there's always a good, you know, insect benefit there, in my opinion. I don't know exactly what they do for us, except maybe they're good food for some other stuff. In fact, fireflies will eat each other sometimes, which is kind of sad, but they do. But they are just a beautiful addition to the landscape. And you're going to get them. I mean, there's some things that will attract them, you know, like moving water, tall grass, pollen, nectar. The larva of the firefly will eat snails, worms, and slugs. And sometimes they eat other fireflies. But if you like them and you want to keep them, don't use chemicals. That's why a lot of people don't have them, because they use broad-spectrum insecticides. And, you know, put stuff that they really like they love penstemon, salvia, wisteria, foxglove. They love bluebonnets, cardinal flower. So there's a lot of stuff that we can do to encourage fireflies in our yard. But they'll take care of your snails, slugs, and worms.
Well, I got the snails. They're crawling all over my porch, and I don't know what they are. There's kind of like a major infestation with them right now.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that, right? A lot of hatchings of some stuff, right? A lot of stuff. I was sitting out in the garage the other day at just as the sun was starting to go down, and I live on the woods, right? So the sun hit just right to illuminate, I'm telling you, millions of insects flying around the canyon. And it was just astonishing to me how many there was an insect every square inch. And it was really kind of fun to watch because all of a sudden a bigger insect or something would come zooming through, you know, these clouds of little tiny butterflies and gnat-like creatures. There were predators zooming through, you know, these crowds of insects. So there must have been a massive hatching. I have not seen that again, but it was just, I've lived there over 30 years and I've never had that exact experience before. So they're out there.
They're out there. All right. Well, I'm just going to enjoy the show at night and let them live, I reckon.
Yep. Thanks for calling. I appreciate
it. Thank
you, Cheryl. All righty. Bye-bye. Yeah, if you've got them, you're doing something right. Okay, let's see here. Here's another text. And if y'all want to text, you know to call 512 or text 512-836-0590. Here's a text. Cheryl, I have zoysia grass that is very thin and not looking healthy. This is a small lawn around a condo and doesn't get enough sun due to a couple of large oak trees. I've had this grass for a couple of years, but haven't had it aerated. Do you think aerating might help stimulate some growth? I wonder if this grass never had much of a chance because the lawn was not prepared well when it was put down. Any suggestions to try and save this lawn? Thank you for anything you might suggest. Well, when I first saw the first few words, thin and not looking healthy, my first thought was aerating and top dressing. That can revive a lawn so much. But deep shade is not what Zoysia wants, right? You can try have it aerated and top dressed with a 50% compost, 50% mineral sand blend, which is what in the trade we call top dressing, and see if that does help, right? If it's a small area, it shouldn't be too expensive to do that. You could also just rake it really well and try to get all the old thatch out and then apply the top dressing without aerating. But if it's really compacted, aerating is what really makes all the difference because when you do a plug aerator, you pull out that plug of soil and then you put the top dressing down and it filters down into the root zone and it really helps revitalize any lawn. But I'm assuming the oak trees are not yours to prune, but if they are, you could try doing that, having them lifted, thinned a little bit, try to get a little bit more sun on the subject. But they're going to grow back, right? So that's going to be kind of a never-ending scenario of trying to prune the oaks for more sun. In the long run, if the aerating and top dressing or just putting down top dressing after a good raking doesn't help, then you may want to switch to St. Augustine if you need a turf, right? If you don't need a turf, then we're talking lots of other possibilities. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Susan, how you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Hi there. What's up?
I got a beautiful Peggy Martin rose on the fence that made a big flush of blooms, and now they're kind of fading. I wonder if I need to cut them all off, or I could just leave it.
You can just leave it. It'll take care of itself. There is nothing prettier than a Peggy Martin rose. In fact, I had a friend of mine call me the other day. He was looking for a vine because his got frozen or something. He's got a beautiful trellised area behind his swimming pool against a wall. And it does get pretty good sun. So he's tried different vines back there. It had a really beautiful stand of star jasmine until the big freeze. And it really, really killed it. So I gave him some ideas. Like we talked about cross vine. We talked about butterfly vine and a couple other things. But I ended up saying, you know what you ought to get is a Peggy Martin rose. I just love them.
Good advice. I love it too, and it has never bloomed so much as it did.
Oh, they're having
the past
a banner.
Month.
I know this. I've seen pictures on Facebook. Some people that I know have taken of the Peggy Martin roses, and I was just like, oh my gosh,
just gorgeous. Okay, well that's good. Thank you for helping me. I'm going to just leave them to tend themselves.
They'll do themselves. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, that's my kind of plant. Just leave them alone. They'll do their own thing. So, all right, we're going to take our last break here, 512-836-0590, call or text. When we come back, I have a few more evening garden suggestions, plants for you. So stick around, and I'll talk to you in just a couple minutes. Thank you.
Welcome to the Austin Gardener with Cheryl McLaughlin on News Radio KLBJ, 590 AM and 99.7 FM.
Okay, we are back. And we got some text to go through here, but there's still time for you to call or text 512-836-0590. Here is another text. Can I use the ashes from my burn pile when planting vegetables? I think so. I think you could use some. I wouldn't use a ton of them, but I would imagine what carbon and potash, some of the primary ingredients. If anybody really knows the definitive answer to this question, I do not know. I never saw my grandmother do it. She was an organic vegetable gardener, and when I was growing up, they still used burn barrels in the yard, but I never did see her use the ashes. But that doesn't mean it wouldn't work. She might just not have wanted to mess with it. So if you know whether or not this texter can use the ashes from the burn pile when planting vegetables, I want to know the answer to that for sure. I just tuned in and heard you say your daughter planted her hydrangeas. I'm about to plant mine. Do they need any special soil additions? Also, what do you think about Mexican fan palm trees in this area? Greg in Cedar Park. P.S. It's my birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Greg in Cedar Park. She really didn't do too much. She's got pretty good soil. She doesn't live up here on the rock. She lives near to downtown in an area that's got pretty decent, deeper soils, although it's a kind of a rocky, not our kind of rock, but some pebbly kind of stuff, but a much deeper soil than I do, and it's in good shape, fairly good shape. So all I would probably do is, just put in a little compost. Now, people don't put compost unless it's fully composted. Don't put it down on the bottom of the hole. Compost goes either on the top after you're done planting or in the top no deeper than 6 inches. Because if you don't have fully composted compost, you put it down below 6 inches, there's no oxygen exchange in the soil, and you'll get anaerobic decay. I don't think you need too much. I love Mexican fan palms in this area. Love them. I love palm trees, but some of the great tall queen palms and stuff they're not cold hardy enough for our occasional apocalyptic freezes. But yeah, I love Mexican fan palms. So I hope that helped. Yeah, her oak leaf hydrangeas, she put them in the front bed. In fact, she put them in a bed where she's got dwarf sable palmettos. And those things grow so slowly. She was getting really frustrated because they just don't appear to grow very much. So what we did end up doing is I suggested she had bought a couple of these oak leaf hydrangeas. I said, put those, you know, behind the dwarf sable palmettos, and you'll have something interesting there. And, you know, I think the palmettos, all they really need is probably some fertilizer, but they are notoriously slow growing. So that's the thing about them. Okay, let's see here. Another text. Hi, Cheryl. This is my approximate 4-year-old Possum Hall holly that finally bloomed last year with beautiful red berries later in the year. But it looks half dead now. Ooh, any ideas what happened and what to do now? Huh. Did it get too dry? That's what I'm thinking. Either that or it might have been storm damage or freeze damage. Oh, and they're so hardy, but this one isn't that old. So, gosh, no, I don't know what happened. What a shame. What I would do, it's hard for me to see if the green foliage on the top is from the possum haw or from a tree behind it. If that green on the top is the possum haw, then you just have a big bare area in the middle. But I don't think that's possum haw foliage. I think the top of it died. And what I would do is simply prune off the dead stuff. If it's not leafing out, prune off the dead, and you've still got a good root system, evidently, and some growth on the bottom. And, you know, they're going to be multi-trunked anyway. So just give it some, be sure that it's got not buried too deeply. You want to be able to see the root flares. Mulch it really well. Put down some compost, deep water if we're not getting rain, and try to bring it back. That's a shame because it was big. Should I till the old sod or use a sod cutter before replacing new sod? Contractor wants to till. I would use a sod cutter and haul away that old clay if you had sod before. Yeah, you say you did. So, yeah, when you till, the problem is you just bring up all these latent weed seeds up near the surface. Although, if you're going to sod over it, it could be worse. But you definitely want to break up that sod. What we used to do is we would get a sod cutter. We'd pull up that old clay from the dead sod and haul it off and take it to the place where they compost it. Question. I planted my potatoes on February 21st. They're now blooming. So with all the rain lately, should we dig them or will they continue to grow? Let's see here. Let me see if I can say when you want to. If you harvest them anywhere from 90 to 120 days after you plant them. Okay, so if you're February, March, April, I don't think you're there yet. And when you have something like this and you have a question, you just try to dig one up and see. But they'll continue to grow. So I think going back to February, depending on what kind you planted, 90 to 120 days is when you should be getting potatoes. It's too early. Cheryl, we started a butterfly garden 4 months ago. Been very successful. Now we have an invasion of mealybug. What do we do that will not harm butterfly caterpillars? Jeff, Clearwater, Florida. Mealybug. Generally, they don't last very long. You can try spraying them with really hard spray of water. maybe a little bit of a light oily spray on the mealybugs, you know, but the butterfly caterpillars should be visible on there. So if they are visible, then I wouldn't spray anything on them at the time. But mealybugs, I'm thinking of spit bugs. Mealybugs, yeah, I would do an oil spray. Spray them lightly. Don't do it in the middle of the day when it's hot, though. Okay, here's another answer to something I had a question about. Ashes are alkaline. Our soil in Central Texas is usually already plenty alkaline. They use wood ash in the Midwest sometimes to reduce acidity, but not a good idea here. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I knew there's a reason my grandmother didn't do it, but I wasn't really sure why. Is now a good time to spray the nematodes, or can too much rain affect them negatively? I use them on the lawn to get rid of fleas. Thank you. No, it's better when they have moisture, so you're good to go with that. Ginger and Comfort, got a quick question?
Yeah, my trees, I live out here on a creek that's usually running, and now it's been dry for 2 years. And my cypress trees and my pecan trees that are on the creek, are some of them are not looking good. I don't know if there's anything I can do because I can't really water them. And I was wondering if there's anything. Some of them have a little bit of leaves on the top. Some of the pecans have tried to put out leaves down low on the trunk.
Oh, that sounds bad, though. If they're not leafing out, you may have had some top kill on them from the drought. But at least we're getting a little more rain now. Give them a little more time because they might still leaf out and do better for you. You been getting any rain?
I got an inch this morning, yeah. Finally. I hadn't been getting very much.
Well, we have a good chance all week. I got to go, but I wouldn't give up yet.